move along to agenda item number 12, public hearing pertaining to oyster harvests. Dr. Wesson.
At the February Shellfish Management Committee meeting, after beginning discussion on effort control, the committee recommended to the commission that they adopt a freeze on any new licenses during the time period they're discussing effort control. And at the last meeting, you did by emergency that action to stop the sale of the all gear user fee. On the 23rd, that date, and for anybody that had never had one before, which left us with a pool of potential workers in the fishery of 1,120. So that's what we're here for today, is just to have a public hearing on making that emergency action permanent. We had one email that I just sent out that came in from one person that was concerned that her grandfather had died, and she got his commercial card transferred to her, and she's concerned that she won't be able to get her user fee. But again, it's in this transition period that we're talking about, that until we come up with some effort control ideas in August. So
questions from the commission. Ms. Erskine.
So, Dr. Wesson, what about that inquiry then about the email? Would that this woman is asking that the transfer has taken place, and she, the resource user fee has been paid in the past, so she would be able to be in the fishery?
Well, I mean, that'll be up to the committee. I mean, that'll be what the committee will decide on. I mean, if they, you know, would go say with control date, then she'd be in with that.
But as of right now, she would not.
As of right now, she would not be.
Okay.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Ballard.
I apologize. I wasn't here at the last meeting, and maybe for the benefit of some of the folks in the audience, would you mind just giving a 1 to 2 minute overview of what we're talking about here?
Well, we are, you know, we had the user, the effort control that we put in last August, that the commission reversed in September and told us to go back to the drawing board as a committee and to come up with another plan. And so the first meeting that we had on this was in February. And the problem that we have right this minute is that all mandatory reporting is not in. So they didn't really want to go very far on it until it'll probably be May before we have the mandatory reporting. But they were concerned that more and more people would come in this time period. They're hearing about there's going to be effort control, so there's that many more people we might have to disappoint, because they got their hopes up. They go buy a license, and then we may make some change. So the committee's feeling was just freeze the license right now until we have this discussion, and then come August when we have a public hearing on what we decide to do in effort control, then this freeze would probably go away.
Ms. Erskine.
And if I can just add a little bit to that, during the committee, the SMAC committee meeting, there was discussion about how maybe best to put a moratorium on more licenses. Clearly, the number has gotten pretty high. The people that are in it, we want to protect the people that are oystermen and that are out on the water in the fishery currently. But accepting more and more licenses seemed to be the problem that the committee wanted to address. However, utilizing the oyster user fee would allow somebody that's in the fishery, let's say with a license in the hand scrape fishery, to go and purchase a hand tong license or a dredge license and move laterally within the fishery because they paid the user fee. So you wouldn't restrict that part. If they're in the fishery, they're in the fishery, and they can buy more licenses if they wish. So that was my understanding. And then I don't think it addressed one other issue, was seed oysters. And whether or not that would be for tongue and seed oysters. And I don't think we discussed that specifically, but I'll ask that when it comes up to the public hearing.
Questions to Dr. Wesson? I have one. We are now at 1,120 individual harvesters that are licensed to harvest oysters commercially in Virginia.
With a user, yeah, that have had a user fee since we've had it. Yeah.
How has that compared to past years?
Well, it continues to go up. The numbers was like 990 that we had last year working.
So we've had an extra 140 people.
Those additional ones were ones that say had them in 2013, but for some reason didn't get them in 14 and 15.
I see.
So, it's been a steady 20% to 30% jump every year. So
what are you saying? Do you have an estimate that we have 400 or 500 more license holders now than we did 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, way over that.
So the concern is whether or not a public oyster fishery could sustain that number of people.
That's why we've been dealing with this for the 2 years.
So this regulation here is to ensure that problem doesn't grow any worse. Is that correct?
During the discussion period.
During the discussion period.
If we decide to do nothing in the fall, then it'll be removed.
Correct. Does that help explain where we're at? Mr. Ballard.
The oyster resource user fee, when was that implemented?
July 2013.
So essentially what we've said is folks that participated in
13, 14, 15
are still able to be in. Anyone before that is not able to get back in, or that did not purchase that user fee. And anybody that was involved in the fishery whatsoever would have had to have purchased a user fee. Is that correct?
You had to have that. And that's saying that, we're not going to say that a hand arm can't keep hand tonguing. The way it is right now, they can switch over to hand scraper if they want to. But if you're in with a user fee, you're in.
If they hadn't paid the user fee, they hadn't been part of the fishery.
Just to be clear, in all of those preceding years or any one of those?
In any one.
Right.
Any one of those. That's why the number is more than the 990 where we were at the end of 2015.
Thank you.
And we even had some more come in the beginning of 2016 before February 23rd. So.
Yep. Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Dr. Wesson. This is a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? Mr. Johnson.
Commissioner, members of the commission.
Please state your name for the record, sir.
Robert Johnson. Need an address?
No. We know how to find you.
I'm sure. Appreciate the opportunity to come here today. I'm here to ask that you vote not to adopt this regulation. The user fee is a tax. It was put in place in 2013. To take the place of the per bushel oyster tax that VMRC was having trouble collecting. So it was a user fee, a one-time fee you pay to use the resource. It's my understanding that a tax is a benefit use type of thing. Not a type of thing, that's what it is. And I question, I don't know if legality is the right word, but it's the only one I could come up with at 3:30 this morning, so that's what I put in here. The legality of VMRC to use a tax as a form of limited entry. I know 28.2204 gives you and again, I'm not an attorney, Mr. Zedrin, but I do try to read the rules of the game. So 28.2204 gives the commission the power to limit the sale of gear licenses and permits. This is clearly not a gear license, and it's clearly not a permit. It is a tax for the use of the resource. In passing this amendment to the already in place regulation, it sounds very good and it sounds very simple, but in the real world, it's not so simple. And I can give you, for instance, my son has worked on the water since he got out of college in 2002. Both of my sons have twins. He have cards that they got through the process of working for a while, applying for it, being granted the card. I have three other employees who have cards. Fortunately, in the last 4 or 5 years, we've had enough oysters of our own that we did not have to work on the public resource. I've been working in the oyster business for almost 40 years, and again, fortunately, did not have to use the public resource, but I don't know that that day will never come. And with the history that I have and that my sons have and that my employees have, I would like to be afforded that opportunity should the need arise. The thing that concerns me most with this is that myself and another worried old man have planted all the seed that we have planted in the past. If this amendment is adopted, neither one of my sons nor my three employees will be able to assist me or to plant seed from a public resource set aside to plant seed on private ground, a requirement by this commission, and I don't know what code section that's under. I'm sure Mr. Stagg could probably help me if it was necessary. But it is not only a requirement that you produce something from your ground, but also that you replenish your ground when it comes up for renewal. So you've taken greatly diminished that capability. In passing this user fee, you are really putting a lid on the oyster industry in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It takes away anybody new coming into it. You either have to wait 2 years for your card, or you have to buy a card, a commercial registration license. Once you get that card, you can't do anything anymore without buying a license that already exists. Everything else is limited entry. I shouldn't say that. You can get a Class B gillnet license, and you can patent on clams. Everything else is limited entry. You can't shaft tong. If this goes through, you can't shaft tong for seed. You can't shaft tong for clean cull oysters. You can't patent tong. You can't even pick up oysters on the seaside by hand. And all of this occurs because you didn't pay a tax on a resource that has only existed for the past 3 years. No matter what your history is in the past, no matter what you've done, no matter how many committees you served on, no matter how diligent you've been in trying to protect the resource, you are precluded from using this resource. So we have 1,000 people here now, whatever the number of licenses is. Is that what this commission, is that what the Commonwealth of Virginia wants for an oyster industry? However many bushels of oysters they catch every year, those 1,000 catch their 200,000. Is that where Virginia is? Is that where Virginia's going to go with the lid on it of X number of oysters? I don't see how an industry is supposed to move forward and grow. In my 40 years, we went through 20 years when we didn't have a oyster to sell because of the diseases, not because of over-harvesting, but because the diseases pretty much wiped out everything. You can't catch the last one, but the last one can die. And that's almost what has happened. I'll get on here so I don't waste too much of your time. I question whether you have the authority to not let someone pay a tax on a use. Not that you don't have the authority for a license or permit, but on a tax, I really question whether or not you have that authority. I do have take a little bit of issue with it being done under an emergency order. There was no emergency. The season was closed, wouldn't open again until October. I dare say many licenses would have been bought. If the fear wasn't out there that you were going to take or not issue any more licenses, a lot of the licenses would not have been bought in the past. Again, some of the stuff I think you create is created by this commission. I mean, we now have regulation for regulation, and 1993, you had to have a water, you had to register as a commercial fisherman, get a commercial card. That was supposed to be the limited entry. If you were a full-time commercial fisherman, you qualified, you got your card. Since then, we've gone limited entry in crabbing, striped bass, throughout the gambit of things that are there. It's all limited entry now. Your waterman's card is just a fee you pay to the commission. It serves no purpose. You have to have it to have a license, but it's no way of determining who is full-time and who is not. There are a lot of people in this fishery that first-time participants last year that can now get a license to hand scrape, dredge, catch seed, shaft, tong, do whatever they want to. I've been in it 40 years. My sons have been in it 15 years and are precluded from that, which to me is in no way, well, I certainly hope it's not the intention of the commission. Again, I question the emergency order. I think in again, not being an attorney, but looking in the code, use of an emergency order is when it's, and this is quoted out of the book there, necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, safety and welfare, or the protection of the seafood industry's natural resources and marine organisms. Now, in February, to limit licenses for the following year, when staff of VMRC hadn't even got the numbers back to you from a season that closed, and it'll be May, 4 months after the season closes, they still don't know the numbers. I question that. The way the committee met on Thursday, this commission met on Tuesday. There was a 2.5-day window to get in there and buy that gear license. If you were at the committee meeting and knew what was coming, after the commission acted on Tuesday, that was it. You could not get one. I'm sure you all are very aware of that. Well, the General Assembly of Virginia passes legislation in January, February, on into March, some years, but you have until the end of June to prepare yourself and make whatever arrangements you need to do to protect yourself, if you will, or to come in to be sure you're in compliance with the law. The regulations that are out there now make it very difficult to make a business plan or to run a business. Just a simple analogy, if you look at the recreational fishery, which I know you manage just as extensively as you do the commercial fishery, but you would no more think of telling someone you apply for a fishing license, 2 years from now, if you still want it, we'll let you have it, but you can only catch certain species of fish. You didn't fish for flounder last year, so you can't fish for flounder this year. And the reason you don't do that is because the public outcry would be tremendous. The devastation to the recreational fishing economy would be tremendous. And that's what is happening in the commercial side with the regulations that that are being put forward. It is quite stifling. Again, we went for 20-some years without a oyster to catch. I have about 2,000 acres of oyster ground that my son and I own and manage, and that was a long dry spell. It was a long time to pay taxes on it. And since they have come back, the oyster market is extremely good. Oysters are in good shape. They're fat. People want them. People are talking about Virginia oysters. Everything is good, but you can't get two commercial fishermen, crabbers, anybody together that ever has anything that enjoys it or can enjoy it because of the amount of regulation that this institution has put on us. And
Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry. Can I drag you back to actually the issue that's in front of us here?
Yes, sir. Be happy. Sorry for
you kind of walked down a few different paths there.
But I tell you, it is of a real concern, and this is just one of of many, unfortunately. I would say that in passing it the way you did, it under the emergency regulation, and it gave no one an opportunity to do anything to protect themselves, if you will. I find that a bit subversive. If it wasn't intentional, it certainly was a tremendous lack of thought on the commission's part. And I'll be happy to know I'm not a speaker and know I got off topic a little bit, so if I can, I'll be happy to answer anybody's questions. I'm sure I left plenty in your mind.
Mr. Ballard.
Can you clarify, were your two sons, did they not pay the Oyster Resource User Fee in the since 2013?
Yes, sir. They were not using the seed resource because myself and another man were planting the seed on our ground. My son and the two gentlemen that worked for us were buying oysters and consequently did not have to pay the user fee. I have bought a lot of licenses that I didn't need because I thought I might need them, but I have never paid a tax that for something that I didn't use, and that's why those user fees were not paid.
Well, let me clarify something. I mean, it's not a tax, it's a user fee. It's not something the commission imposed. This is something the General Assembly passed.
Yes, sir.
The user fee is merely the benchmark of which the commission is using to determine whether or not additional licenses will be sold. It is a handy way of saying if you've been in the fishery at any point over the last 3 years, you continue. But what's being proposed here is to freeze that so that additional licensees don't come in with an expectation that they will have fishing rights. That's the only reason that the user fee is even part and parcel of any of this.
Yes, sir. But again, it is a tax, and I question whether or not you can use a tax to limit entry.
We're not using a tax to limit entry. It is merely the benchmark from which we decide whether or not additional people can get in.
Right.
Mr. Packard.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. You mentioned that you own 2,000 acres. Is
at least 2,000.
And you're leasing that from who?
The Commonwealth of Virginia.
All right. Thank you.
Can I ask why you asked that question? Because I'm quite certain you already knew.
Well, I just wanted to clarify. You said you owned it, and I just want to make sure you...
That's a... I certainly do understand that it's leased from the Commonwealth.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson. Just to clarify, I take it that you're against what this amendment would do.
Yes, sir, I certainly am.
We got that gist. I just wanted to make sure it was clear on the record. Is there anybody else here who wishes to testify on this matter? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
One more question for Dr. Wesson. Just want to clarify, this would not have any impact on aquaculture users, spat on shell production.
No. Okay. No, nothing about private. This is just a breather. Give the committee a breather for the 3 month, 4 month deliberation period they have to do.
Ms. Erskine.
And to clarify for Ms. Bailey that submitted the email question, she will be able to move forward pending the outcome of the committee and the commission's decision, and she would be able to move forward in August, I guess, when this is made. Okay. And as a follow-up question, I'm wondering if, based on Mr. Johnson's testimony about seed oysters, that the intent of the committee and this commission with the emergency amendment was to impact seed and moving seed. I do seem to agree that, you know, our responsibility as a commission and staff is to encourage the propagation of shellfish, and moving seed I don't think is where we were trying to go with this emergency amendment. I'm wondering if we can exempt seed.
Well, it would be, we don't have a seed license. You'd have to buy a user fee, and you'd have a hand tong license, and then the way it's set up now, you can get anything else once you're in. And again, this is a temporary fix. I mean,
yeah, but seed is being moved now. So if they didn't pay the user fee to get a hand tong license to move seed, then they're out until for the season.
Or they could just hire somebody else. The majority of people move seed by hiring people.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Ballard.
I've been trying to discern whether there are any unintended consequences here, and I think that's the danger of hasty regulation that happens is unintended consequences. And it does seem to me like Mr. Erskine and Mr. Johnson have identified something with the seed that might have been unintended. I personally would like to see some sort of resolution to that.
Mr. Erskine?
I mean, we have a seed area, right? So instead of exempting, I guess, seed, can we exempt the area?
You would still, have, public to seed have, area? You still have to get a user fee and a hand-on license. But that's the only area that's open right now. I mean, after 10 more days, Seaside closes, which Seaside is not, picking up by hand is not covering this. That's a $50 by hand user fee that this does not cover. But the James River is the only area that is open right now for anything in the bay. And that requires a hand-on license and a user fee.
Commission operates on motions. Mr. Tackett.
I didn't find anything compelling in the testimony to change my mind. I would say let's move forward with this emergency regulation.
Is that a motion?
Yes, that is a motion.
What exactly is the motion?
Enact the
staff
recommendation.
Yep, that's what I thought you meant. It's a motion by Mr. Tackett. Is there a second?
I'll second it, but I really like the shellfish experts to.
Second by Mr. Neal. Mr. Erskine.
Well, I still kind of want to find a path forward on this seed issue. I don't think the intent of this, and certainly I don't believe the intent of the committee, was to restrict transplanting seed. I mean, that has nothing to do with, you know, limiting harvest of the resource. Again, I mean, moving seed is part of our responsibility to enhance the propagation of shellfish grounds. So I don't know how we get there, but I think we should allow for an exemption in that area, in the James River seed area, that's open, that people can, if possible, purchase a user fee and a hand-tong license. Only for use in that area.
Well, kind of kind of negates the entire wording of this path to achieve a freeze on licenses. Mr. Zeger.
I'd like to ask council a question. I mean, this is a public hearing on adopting this provision. Does it have to be adopted just as is advertised, or can there be an amendment to it?
There can be an amendment. Let me look at the how it was advertised and make sure we're okay. Hang on. Yeah, we can amend it in the way that's being talked about.
I would only suggest that it's not, again, the intent of this is to limit the number of licenses coming in, particularly hand scrape licenses, for the harvest of market size oysters. People that are not necessarily propagating shellfish.
Yeah. Well, here might be a path forward here. Taking that wording and tacking on the end of this, except for a person who has not
previously
paid the user fee, may pay it to purchase a hand-tong license for the purposes of moving seed oyster.
I
That would continue with what we have here to freeze licenses, with the exception of those who would be moving seed oyster.
And the seed season goes through May, April or May? So we would have a sunset. Maybe we don't need to put that in. So you don't have more resource user fees being paid. It would sunset after the seed season is over. And again, it's only for hand tong for moving seed.
And does that open a loophole that anybody that wants to somehow get a new license gets this and then claims they're eligible for everything else?
You're saying you still have to get a user fee in order to do seed, right?
Still have to get the user fee in order to get the hand tong license. You can only get the user fee to get the hand tong license and only to use to move seed. I mean, that would be a path forward. Chief?
So I think I have something similar. So right now, and I'll read it, beginning February 23rd, 2016, payment of the oyster resource user fee that allows any harvester to use one or more gator titles to harvest oysters or possess any bushel limit, as described in the section, shall be limited to those individuals who previously paid an oyster resource user fee or to those who individuals who pay an oyster resource user fee and obtain only a hand-tong license strictly for seed harvest along those lines, something along those lines.
Does that get to where you guys need to go?
Yes, sir.
Well, if you want to do that, we have to amend the motion and the second.
This may be totally wrong question, but this question's not wrong. Is there a way to allow the hanging of the seed oysters without having them to have the user fee?
Not under state law.
Okay.
Yeah, because that user fee statute is very clear.
That would take away the loophole, though.
By the way, the user fee statute was at the request of the industry.
Was at the request of the
industry. Correct.
And so I have a follow-up question to that.
Mr. Tackett.
Dr. Weston, you testified that the chance of somebody getting a user fee for seed is probably fairly low, given that most of this group of people who are seed producers, harvesters, they do that on a contract basis. Is that what you testified today?
Most people hire watermen to get seed. I mean, there's a very small number that do it for themselves. It would be very unusual for somebody not to already be in the public fishery.
Yeah. So I would say, as a result of this testimony, that we're parsing something that is probably not going to happen. We're trying to protect an industry that's had a gold rush, that's has too many entrants. I think we have to look at the bigger picture, and I think there are going to be plenty of people who can contract the seed if they want it planted. I feel like that we're talking about something that probably won't happen. Am I missing something?
Mr. Fowler.
With this path forward that we've chosen, do you see this as a loophole, or will we be able to track these folks separately so that when we look at this next year, we don't see them as paying the oyster resource user fee the same way that we are viewing all other 1,120 users?
And if we can figure out a way to do it in licensing, we can track it. I mean, it's not going to be that easy because you'd be on somebody's word, they're just going to go out and do seed. I mean, I don't know how. They're certainly not going to be followed out there to see if they do market harvest in January. Because market harvest is going on between now and April 30th. You can do either one. So, unless there's no way you'd be able to track that in the river.
Right.
Mr. Ballard.
I guess I have a question for Mr. Erskine, I believe, who brought this up. Do you know of anyone that would fall into this category that's going to be? I have problems with this. I think it's unintended consequences, but are you aware of any examples that this would affect?
It referring to the seed? Well, I mean, I think Mr. Johnson indicated about the seed issue, you know, and there was testimony there that he has, you know, his sons, for example, wouldn't be able to go out and help, you know, move that seed. So, I mean, there's at least one person. It may not be extensive, you know, in the grand scheme of what we're trying to do, but I think it still preserves the more temporary moratorium you have on new people getting in, which is the goal. but it preserves the seed season, I think, with the intent of moving and propagating shellfish. So I don't think there's a consequence here that we haven't looked at, but it might be a narrow exemption, but that's okay in my eyes, only for a month or two to allow seed to be moved. And maybe there are contractors and watermen that can be hired, but in some instances we just took, you know, testimony that that's not the case. So I'm going off what the testimony was provided, you know, during the public hearing. And also I would say at the committee, I don't believe that was the intent, is to impact the seed resource. I think it was the intent of restricting temporarily new licenses, new hand scrape licenses from being purchased. And that was the concern. And the reason it was done as an emergency, in my understanding, was if we allowed the committee to have its discussions over the next 6 months and made a decision in August, even though it was out of season and the public season was closed, you would have a number of people that were buying Oyster Resource user fees. So, in my opinion, there was a need to take this as an emergency amendment, and the right step was taken. But I don't think the committee's intent was to impact the seed resource.
Mr. Neal.
My question is kind of to AJ. If we allow this exemption, how is that not just opening up the user fee sales? How do you limit that to, you say we're going to do an exemption to allow you to buy this if you're going to move seed, but how do you regulate that? How is that going to stop everybody and their brother from going ahead and getting the user fee? Just saying they're going to, but now they have this user fee.
Well, that's why I asked, you know, Jim, how do we get after this, and is there a way to implement an exemption? If there's not, and then the unintended consequences, you're opening it up and rendering your regulation useless, then I can't support that. You know,
that's my
I'm
point.
Trying to find a way forward for the seed resource only. And if there isn't, and we're talking about, you know, this is moot, then I'm not in favor of that. So,
I mean, we can't make them go seed. If they come in and get a user fee and buy a handler license, we cannot make them go out and get seed.
So you're saying that there's no way to track that they would only go to the seed area and that's it?
Well, I mean, that's all they can go to right now. But there's no way. I mean, if you just use that, come in and say, I'm going to do this, but you never do it, I mean, we can't make them go get seed. I mean, they just have a hand-on license in their pocket with a user fee.
And you can't track that by the date in which they purchased that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have every date. There's no problem with the dates. I mean, we would know those come in, whatever date that would come in. The date's no problem. Ms. Spelling.
So administratively, we would be able to look at the date they purchased that user fee and be able to separate that from the other class of folks,
I mean,
that this regulation was intended to protect.
We can do that. I mean, we're obviously considering the control date, and that's all based on the dates that they came in, so we have the dates for everybody.
So it seems to me like we've got a path forward here that preserves what this amendment was intended to do while limiting the consequences to the folks that are trying to participate in the seed market. I don't see a whole lot of downsides to it.
Mr. Zedra.
I think I kind of see where the dilemma is here, is because what you're saying is we put this exception on here, then the guy goes and buys the user fee and gets his tong license, and instead of doing the seed, he goes and gets the oysters, and just like everybody else, and then he sells them. My question is, if they did that, if this person did that, wouldn't he have to report the sale of those oysters to the commission?
technically.
You're supposed to, yeah. But if you knew you were doing something wrong.
What's that?
If you knew you were doing something wrong, I don't think you'd report it.
But there's no public ground open.
The only public ground open is the seed area.
That's right.
But you can do markets in the seed area. You don't have to do seed.
Explain that. I don't...
The James River, the area from Deep Creek up here up to the Steel Fleet is a seed area that it's the only place you can go take oysters under the coal size, and you can move them for private planting. But the same area is being worked daily for market size clean coals that has a 3-inch coal. You can't do both on the same boat. You've got to do one or the other, but the license is the same.
Well, that's what my question is. So if we put this exception down there, it's no guarantee that those guys are not going to go and start marketing the market oysters in that area.
No, right? There's no guarantee that they'll work either. I mean, that they'll just take the Handong license just to have one.
But that would be easy enough to track because with the date they purchased it, if they were to never use it and they just wanted to have a user fee paid with a tong license to be in the fishery, then that would be easily weeded out when it comes to the committee because they purchased it, you know, after a certain date, right? I guess the concern is that there are market-sized oysters in the seed area and somebody could go in then and say they're working on seed, but they're really working on market oysters. That's what you're indicating.
Mm-hmm.
And both those seasons coincide with one another.
Until April 30th. And then we've got 1 month extra for just seed in May. So they got a month and a third of clean coal.
Well, if we go this... Go ahead, Mr. Erskine.
Sorry. A month and a third remaining in the clean coal market. Yes. I wonder if then we can give the seed... strictly the seed harvester, that 1 month that's available. Could we put a date on it?
That makes sense.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
That way there's no issue with saying I'm going to go in and do seed in the area and take market oysters out of there. You would have already have had to pay the oyster before this time, pay the oyster resource user fee and a hand tong license.
Like starting one date.
Well, if you want to go that route, Matt has an amendment to the amendment if you want to hear it. All of that, except that a person who has not previously paid the user fee may pay it to purchase a hand tong license for the purposes of moving shell oysters starting on
April 1st
of 2016.
May 1st,
2016. That sounds to me like that meets everybody's objectives, and it still gives us a bit of control being able to tell who paid the user fee and got the hand tong license when, and we would have to be especially vigilant if and when we come to limited entry to make sure that those people that last edition slid through under this exemption don't end up having a place within the fishery based on this. Mr. Zeter.
From my perspective, I think it's point of order here. I don't think the amendment was approved to their motion. We just got a motion on the table.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. That's right. It's your motion to accept staff recommendations, seconded by Mr. Neal, who promptly asked for more input from... What do you call them, the shellfish guys?
Yeah, the shellfish guys.
This was just discussion on the motion.
The troublemakers down there.
So,
I mean, that's where we're at officially here is we have a motion to accept staff recommendation by Mr. Citron and second by Mr. Neal.
No,
Mr. Tanker.
Oh, okay.
I stand corrected, motion by Mr. Tanker. See, now you're all confusing me. Mr. Ballard.
I guess I asked Dr. Wesson, just bluntly, administratively, how much of a burden is this amendment?
We have some really good experts on doing this kind of stuff. I think that they will not have any problem.
Okay.
Well,
But it won't expire.
But the commission will make the limited entry decision.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Council's concerns have been addressed.
Mr. So, I appreciate the discussion that we've had, and I apologize for maybe trying to move us in a direction that took a little bit longer. I'm not interested in removing what we did as an emergency amendment. I think that's very important, but I am interested in moving something forward on the seed area. I'd offer it as a friendly amendment if the maker of the motion would do that.
Excuse me. Yes, I think it's good we've had the discussion to kind of clear it up, and that motion would be fine with me.
So the maker of the motion would accept this as a friendly amendment.
I would accept.
Let's take it to the seconder of the main motion here.
I'll second that.
Okay. So now we have an amended motion that does all that and all the other stuff.
But all clear? You did say in there shell oysters. You meant seed oysters, right?
That's what I meant.
Okay.
That's right. Exactly what I meant. It says handwriting. It's not my eyesight. We have an amended motion. Chief O'Reilly.
So this brings back memories of the good old days, and they were there when we used to write regulatory amendments on the fly. The commission goes through this and wants to see this next month to make sure that might be a good idea. The language that I heard is pretty close to language that I would put in a regulation. So I think we're close, but if the commission wants that to do that later on, if it goes that route, let us know.
We could sort of like amend the motion to say subject to appropriate wordsmithing or whatever.
there we go. There's a get out of jail free card. You want to add amendment to the amended motion here, subject to the appropriate wordsmithing and review by council?
Yes, I would say that sounds fine. Subject to the appropriate regulatory review, something like that.
Okay. Does everybody nod in agreement that should be the motion that we consider?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to call the question.
This is all for a one-month old seed thing.
Yep.
Don't ever say we don't help you all out. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any notes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion, quite blessedly, passes unanimously.
Yep.